Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day so far. Let's say hello to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and also Innsworth head football coach. Timmy, what's up? How you doing?
What's up? I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic. Last week, we kind of felt, you felt that John Harbaugh would be back with the Ravens. Now he is a free agent. We'll see about Mike Tomlin and what happens there. But how much of a chance do you give the Titans to landing John Harbaugh?
I think they could be in the mix. You know, it's interesting to see how many teams are interested in Harbaugh. It's probably why I said, you know, what I said about the expectation that he would be back. You know, I think that, you know, from some of the information that I got, I think that, you know, Steve Bisciotti, who's the, owner of the Ravens, you know, I think that what he realized is, like, he's got one of the best coaches in football. He knows that. But it almost just felt like that, you know, going 14-2, but that not mattering, because it was almost like you just were waiting to get to the postseason to see what would happen. That there was a weight to that and a heaviness to that was a lot to carry. So, you know, I think ultimately he makes the move knowing that, you know, he's letting go one of the best coaches in football, but also knowing, like, he kind of made his business in the HR world and probably has got a good deal of confidence of feeling like, no, like, this is my background, this is what I do, is identify the right people to hire, and so now he gets to do that with his next football coach. So, you know, that's what I would say kind of pertaining to that situation, and then how it, you know, aligns for, you know, the Titans. I think it is an attractive job. They're all attractive jobs, but I think that, you know, I don't think it's an environment where if he's offered the Giants job and the Titans job, money's the same, whatever. I don't think it's like, oh, you know, I need to go be in New York. I don't think he'd feel that way.
Well, so in that sense, and you, depending on some of the reports that are out there, you know, he's watching film on Jackson Dart and Cam Ward. If it's strictly down to the quarterback, I mean, does one really outshine the other, you know, based on the sample size we have?
No, I don't think one outshines the other. And, you know, in terms of, you know, him watching those guys, look, he'll watch them, but, you know, they're going to be, I think more than watching them, I think is going to be, you know, the character evaluation that he gets, you know, on them, you know, from the people that he knows in the business that had been around and worked with either guy. So, you know, he's not going to turn it on and be like, oh, look at this run against Philadelphia. Oh, look at this, you know, pass against Indianapolis. Like, that's where I'm going. I don't think that's what it would be with him. Both guys are physically capable. I think the bigger one is, you know, you're attaching your wagon, you know, to that rookie contract and that rookie player, which is attractive, assuming he's the right guy.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim, when these guys come in and do interviews and, you know, they're talking to the GMs and everything, trying to piece things together, you look at the Titans, for example, right? They went down the avenue of hiring a first-time play caller in Callahan who's never called plays before. Do they go down that avenue again if somebody comes in and blows them away, knowing what they just experienced the last 2 years, or do you just let it all play out? Because I would not go down that road again.
Right. Well, I mean, but here's the thing about it. Like, I don't know how people know this. Like, John Harbaugh got hired. He had never called plays before. Like, John Harbaugh was a special teams coordinator who had spent some time, you know, coaching the secondary in the NFL. So, you know, I do think, and I think I've talked to you guys about this before, you know, and John Fox was really the guy that really opened my eyes to it, was a very successful defensive coordinator. Then, you know, was one of, I don't know how many guys have ever done this, but he's been a head coach in the NFL and took two different organizations to the Super Bowl as a head coach, you know, once in Carolina and then once in Denver. And he said to me that, you know, the skills that you need to be a good play caller are not the skills that you need to be a good head coach. You know, to be a good coordinator, you sit in a dark room and you just, you know, come up with a game plan, you know, for your side of the ball, you know, to go against your opponent. And then you become a head coach and you don't do any of that. In fact, you don't have time to do that type of stuff. So I think it's more, Joe, about just the structure and the people that are going to come along with you and what they are going to do. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that Matt Nagy, I think we talked about this last week, maybe. I think Matt Nagy already expressed his desire to not be the play caller if he became the head coach again. So I think it's just more about like, okay, well, who is going to do it and how are we going to feel about it? And, you know, like, yeah, we could lose that guy if he has success to becoming a coordinator somewhere else, but hopefully, you know, we can replace him with somebody just as good.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, I still think Nagy's going to be the fit here, but what if Andy Reid goes to him and says, you know what, I got about maybe a year or two and I want to hand it over to you. If that happens to Matt Nagy, I mean, obviously the choice will be made, right? I mean, he's going to stay where he's got Mahomes, he's comfortable, and he's turned over to him. But who knows if Andy Reid's going to retire next year or the next 10?
Yeah, and really with the structure of the NFL and the Rooney Rule and things like that, like you can't do that. So, you know, like you're not you know – that's not something that Kansas City is even able to do.
Right, right.
You know, if Andy resigns, you know, they've got to retires, whatever.
Let me interrupt you. Mike Tomlin is stepping down after 19 seasons with the Steelers. Just breaking news now on your network.
Wow.
So there you go. That was my hunch, man. It felt.
And is that Schefter?
It's everybody. It's on SportsCenter right now. Mike Tomlin is stepping down. But, yeah, Shefty, I've seen Rossini has it with The Athletic. I mean, it's everywhere.
And so the question would be is, does he still want to coach? You know, is he gonna get right back into coaching?
What would you do if you were him?
Well, I mean, I think because he's been such an amazing soundbite, what's going to happen is that every network is going to offer him something attractive. And not that he's going to be motivated by money, but somebody like every network is going to offer him an opportunity to make millions of dollars doing TV, which means he's going to be able to take a breath, but still be visible where people don't forget about him. I mean, no different than, you know, what Sean Payton did. Sean Payton, you know, took a job in TV. No one forgot about him. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. And then he goes back, you know, and finds himself in a great situation in Denver, probably refreshed. So, you know, what would I guess? My guess is that he would talk to people, but my guess is that he takes a TV job and then ultimately, you know, doesn't lose his visibility if he wants to get back in it in a year or two.
So there's two things I have on this. One, to your point, I think yes on TV, and this is different than Cowher. Like Cowher never, everybody thought Bill Cowher was going to come back and he never did. I think Tomlin could do TV for a couple of years and then actually come back. Why do you think, though, you look at the records of Harbaugh and Tomlin, and I think it's pretty clear, at least in my mind, Harbaugh is ready to go and jump into his next job. Tomlin does need to take a breath. Why is that?
You think he needs to take a breath?
I think so. It just seems that way. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. It just kind of feels that way.
I really feel like it's more because of the personality and how that'll translate to television. Just like I think that, you know, Harbaugh, I don't think that the networks are looking at Harbaugh saying like, oh, we've got to hire him. Now, do I think they would? Yeah, I think plenty of them would, and I think he'd be an upgrade over a lot of people that we see on TV. But I don't think people look at him. You know what I mean? But maybe me included. But like I think, you know, Tomlin is, I mean, he's got a sound bite every press conference. I think, you know, I think that's a lot of people are looking for that, and I think that he would deliver that.
God, what if Harbaugh goes to Pittsburgh?
That'd be great. They switch spots?
Yeah, right.
I mean, wouldn't that? I don't think that's too crazy to think about.
Well, I don't think it's crazy that Pittsburgh would be interested in Harbaugh. That I don't think that, because they are, you know, the kind of place that, like, they don't make moves often, and they want to make sure they get it right and hopefully have some longevity, you know, with the next guy that they hire. You know, I'd be surprised. I mean, if you think about the rivalry, that feels like, unless, not that guys don't do it, but that one feels weird just even with the rivalry.
Right.
Schefter adds, Tomlin will have options with what he wants to do next. He can take the year off. He can have a job in television as an analyst. He gets to do what he wants, but he won't be coaching the Steelers. So that's – and it's Fowler and Schefter that had it first. So crazy to think that the Steelers, Tim, are going to be looking for their fourth head coach since 1969.
Yeah, that's wild when you think of the turnover on this stuff. Obviously, the landscape has changed drastically, but they've been able to – you know, not have to fall into it because of the success of the organization. Now, they had done a remarkable job with personnel over that time. You know, I mean, just think of what, I mean, receiver, defensive line, like you think linebacker, you know, safety and corner. I mean, they just, in terms of how they've drafted, signed guys in free agency, you know, as this, you know, kind of impatient culture has taken over coaching. You know, that has been, I think, a huge part of the success, you know, that they've had. So, my guess is he takes a year, does TV, kind of reassesses. You know, a name that I think would be an interesting name in Pittsburgh, roots and desire to be there, is a guy that's interviewing Saturday for the Titans, and that's Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. I could see it.
Tim, your father, who was his favorite coach to play for? I know that's kind of not in the same realm, but who stood out to him?
It was Bill Parcells was my dad, and my dad was definitely seen as a Parcells guy. You know, played an extra year because, you know, like Parcells would do back then, he'd have a young player, and he'd want to kind of pair that young player with an older veteran player. My dad was the older veteran player for Mark Bavaro. And it was,
wow.
You know, I remember Parcells called my dad, and my dad was probably done playing. And he said, hey, you know, I need you to give me one more year. My dad was like, I think I'm done, Bill. Like, I think I'm done. He's like, I need you one more year. I just got this kid from Notre Dame. I need you to spend a year with him. And my dad did, and, you know, remained friends with Mark for, you know, really the rest of his life.
Wow.
We will take a break, come back with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, continuing with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach at Innsworth. Mike Tomlin stepping down after 19 seasons with the Steelers, now 9 jobs open. Before we get into the actual playoffs, I look at the talent pool in coaches, and I feel like if you're a team like the Titans in the need of a coach, no matter who you get, you're probably going to land on somebody good because there's a lot of experience.
Well, you got a lot of opportunities to land somebody good. I think that, you know, it's very different than I think how people felt about the college coaching cycle. I think in the college coaching cycle, I think people were like, oh, wow, like this ends up being pretty thin. Where you're right, you know, to be hiring a coach in a time where think of all the guys with previous head coaching experience that are available, and a few of them Super Bowl winning head coaches. I mean, that's, you know, that's not typical. And then the guys that aren't Super Bowl winning head coaches, maybe guys that have won playoff games as head coaches, right? Like, I believe Matt Nagy's won, you know, game playoff game as a head coach. So yeah, you have that. And then you even consider, you know, Jeff Hafley, who's going to interview for the job, he has prior head coaching experience and has NFL coordinator experience. So, yeah, I was not even thinking of, like, Mike McCarthy as a guy that's, you know, a Super Bowl winning, you know, head coach that's available. So, yeah, I think it's pretty good cycle this time around.
Yeah, I mean, 3 Super Bowl winning head coaches that are available. Pretty crazy to think about. Moving into the playoffs, what shocked you the most about this weekend?
biggest shock, maybe probably how competitive Carolina was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I felt like, and I think the spread on that game, I don't even pay much attention to that.
Type 10.5.
But like, yeah, like that's a big number in pro football, especially, you know, for a team that's going on the road. So, that was a really competitive game. Matthew Stafford had to be amazing for them to win it, and he was.
I mean, was there any doubt that he was not going to lead them down this field and score? I had zero doubt that Matthew Stafford was going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was a good chance he was going to do it, but still, there was very little time left. And, you know, still had to make a great throw. It was a good catch in some not amazing conditions. You know, the ball does, you know, is shaped funny and bounces funny sometimes.
Right.
So I think even when you have the confidence that it's going to happen, it's still – you know, there's still the potential that it doesn't. So I do think that, you know, look, when I forget how much, you know, the game was the other day, they're running together now, but, you know, he's inside of a minute, you know, with the football in his hand. Do I think that he's going to get it done? I do. But, you know, I also wasn't totally sure because, you know, sometimes, you know, ball gets batted in the air and, you know, you never know what can happen.
I saw you on your little community access show Sunday night with that bald guy with glasses.
Yeah.
And I thought your breakdown of the Texans-Steelers game was perfect. Was perfect. About Rodgers, get the ball out of there, just rush four, confuse. I was like, that's it. And that's the game. I think D'Amico Ryans was watching you. That's what they did last night.
I don't think D'Amico was watching me. But I do. What I do think is, you know, I think everyone in general, and I think it definitely, and look, I'm guilty of this as an analyst, we tend to focus a lot on offensive football and not as much on defense. Look, like Milton Williams for the Patriots is maybe their best player.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's so disruptive and such a problem, but like, you know, he doesn't get the attention that we're going to give Drake May. And I think a similar thing happens, you know, when you talk about the Texans. The Texans' defense, because of their ability to rush the passer and their ability to just be disruptive with just four guys, allows them a lot of times to have numbers advantage in the passing game. And they're really good. And I really felt like for the Pittsburgh Steelers to have success, they were going to have to change the launch point of where Aaron Rodgers was,
mm-hmm.
just because he can't move the way that he once could. And if you know where to find him, you know, for those guys to rush the passer and know, like, look, he's going to be 7 to 9 yards behind the center, it's just going to be hard to have a ton of success doing it that way.
Tim, I just want you to know that Joe and I have appointment programming on Sunday nights to watch you with SVP. So that's how supportive
you
are.
I just want to know when you guys sleep, because I appreciate you guys sticking around and watching. But, I mean, do you, like, we're in Central Time Zone, but I'm always like, really, you're still awake? Good for you. Okay.
We are.
Well, do you fly up, what, Saturday, or you fly up Sunday?
You know, it depends on the assignment, but yeah, I mean, I'm usually on site before, you know, any of the early games start.
So that's Saturday.
But usually I'm always on. Well, yeah, sometimes there's a flight, you know, listen, I'm not a 3-time Emmy award winning television host. So like if I was, I would probably have a private plane that takes me there.
Yes.
But since I'm not, you know, I have to get there commercially. So if anybody's listening, if you guys want to do a sponsorship deal for me, get me places privately, feel free to do that.
Okay, perfect. We can work on that. Real quick before we let you go, your buddy Trent Dilfer returning to Lipscomb to be their head coach. I cannot wait for that matchup when we get it.
He called me to tell me that he was taking the job before they announced it. And we kind of had some scheduling issues where this past year, both Ensworth and Lipscomb were off on September 19th. And so Jamie Graham, their previous coach, we scheduled a game. So we're both available that same weekend this coming year. And so I already asked Trent. I said, let's go. Let's get it on the schedule. So I thought he would say yes to me, but he said he had to get there and figure things out first. So
oh, he's scared of you.
I thought he was.
Let's put a little pressure on him. Time. You're one.
Well, I thought he was calling to tell you he's going to take your quarterback, your tight end, your guard, your tackle, your defensive back, your linebacker, and defensive coordinator from you. But another phone call. Hey, real quick before we go, you have to answer that. Fernando Mendoza, Carson Beck, give me the pros and cons of each of those, Tim, going to the next level.
Well, I haven't, watched those guys other than on TV, but I would say this. I think the thing I love about Mendoza is he's big. He's super accurate. You can tell he's really smart. He's the kind of guy I feel like you can put a lot on him, which you need to do when you're in the NFL. So I think people are going to like him quite a bit in the process. And then I think for Beck, I do think, and it's kind of interesting because I think he was a highly recruited kid. He's been, kind of anointed in some of these places. But he's weathered the storm a little bit, dealing with injury, having to find a new home and then playing well somewhere new. So I do think the evaluation process, which is brutal, but I do think it's going to be relatively kind to him as well, because I think there's going to be a grit in his story that people like quite a bit.
I love it. Real quick before we go, our question of the day is, do you remember your high school house phone number, the phone number you had in high school at your house, at your parents' house? Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you?
508-528-4733. Yep.
Holy cow.
Yep.
Well done.
Wow.
I do. But I think a better question would be is like, okay, the three people you call the most right now, do you know their phone numbers by heart?
That's a big fat no. That's a great question too.
Because I'm thinking about it, and like I know my wife's phone number, I know Elizabeth's number, but like then if it's like one of my kids or my brothers or something like that. No shot that I can recite their number. Chase's. I know Chase's, but yeah. I won't do that on air. Just
I don't even know Chase's number. I got it in my phone. I couldn't call you.
Well, I mean, when you got a
Chase. Listen, Chase acts like he's friends with you, Joe. You have his burner number. Like you
have his phone number. Tim, great stuff as always. We even had breaking news in the middle of it, so that was
amazing.
Something.
Hey, so by the way, I went 0-2 on saying that both of those guys would still be head coaches.
It's okay. I mean, I think this is one of those weird coaching cycle years, but kind of interesting to watch. So we look forward to seeing your thoughts on it on television, and thanks for joining us as always.
Sounds good. See you, fellas. Have a good week.
See you. YouTube. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth head coach, joining us on the program. Mike Tomlin out as the Steelers head coach, stepping away after 19 years. So I'm gonna pose this. Do you want Tomlin, Harbaugh, McCarthy? Those are the three Super Bowl winning coaches, or the field? And if it's the field, tell me who. 615-737-1025. Jason Big Joe, 1025 The Game.